He looked up and saw them.
"Hurry," he shouted. "Move your freight. We have to connect them and finish it or she'll die. They both will."
The doctor, surely no one but a doctor could have mustered such ill-tempered arrogance in the presence of Richard P. Sayre, made impatient, beckoning gestures.
"Get her in here! You're late, goddamn you!"
Sayre pushed her rudely through the door. She heard a humming deep in her head and a brief jangle of Todash chimes. She looked down, but was too late. Mia's borrowed legs were already gone, and she went sprawling to the floor before Hawkman and Bulldog could come through behind her and catch her. She braced on her elbows and looked up, aware that, for the first time in God knew how long, probably since she'd been raped in the Circle of Stones, she belonged only to herself. Mia was gone. Then, as if to prove this wasn't so, Susanna's troublesome and newly departed guest let out a scream. Susanna added her own cry. The pain was now too huge for silence, and for a moment their voices sang of the baby's imminence in perfect harmony. "Christ," said one of Susanna's guards, whether vampire or low man, she didn't know, "are my ears bleeding? They feel like they must be—" "Pick her up, Haber," Sayre snarled. "Jay, grab hold. Get her off the floor for your father's sakes." Bulldog and Hawkman, or Haber and Jay, if you liked that better, grabbed her beneath the arms and quickly carried her down the aisle of the ward that way, past the rows of empty beds. Mia turned toward Susanna and managed a weak, exhausted smile. Her face was wet with sweat, and her hair was plastered to her flushed skin.
"Well met, and ill," she managed.
"Push the next bed over," the doctor shouted. "Hurry up, goddamn you! Why are you so christing slow?"
Two of the low men who'd accompanied Susanna from the Dixie Pig bent over the nearest empty bed and shoved it next to Mia's, while Haber and Jay continued to hold her up between them. There was something on the bed that looked like a cross between a hairdryer and the sort of space helmet you saw in the old Flash Gordon serials. Susanna didn't much care for the look of it. It had a brain-sucking look. The rat-head nurse, meanwhile, was bending between her patient's splayed legs and peering under the hiked-up hospital gown Mia now wore. She patted Mia's right knee with a plump hand and made a mewling sound. It was almost surely meant to comfort, but Susanna shuddered.
"Don't just stand there with your thumbs up your butts, you idiots,"
the doctor cried. He was a stoutish man with brown eyes, flushed cheeks, and black hair swept back against his skull, where each track of the comb seemed as wide as a gutter. He wore a lab coat of white nylon over a tweed suit. His scarlet cravat had an eye figured into it. This sigil did not surprise Susanna in the slightest.
"We wait your word," said Jay, the Hawkman.
He spoke in a queer, inhuman monotone, as unpleasant as the rathead nurse's mule, but perfectly understandable.
"You shouldn't need my word,"
the doctor snapped. He flapped his hands in a Gallic gesture of disgust.
"Didn't your mothers have any children that lived?"
"I," Haber began, but the doc went right over him. He was on a roll.
"How long have we been waiting for this, How many times have we rehearsed the procedure? Why must you be so fucking stupid, so christing slow? Put her down on the b—"
Sayre moved with a speed Susanna wasn't sure even Roland could have equaled. At one moment he was standing beside Haber, the low man with the bulldog face. At the next, he'd battened on the doctor, digging his chin into the doc's shoulder and grabbing his arm, twisting it high behind his back. The doc's expression of petulant fury vanished in a heartbeat, and he began to scream in a childish, breaking treble. Spit spilled over his lower lip, and the crotch of his tweed trousers darkened as his urine let go.
"Stop!" he howled. "I'm no good to you if you break my arm! Oh, stop! That hurts!"
"If I should break your arm, Scowther, I'd just drag some other pill-pusher in off the street to finish this, and kill him later. Why not? It's a woman having a baby, not brain surgery, for Gan's sake." Yet he relaxed his hold a little bit. Scowther sobbed and wriggled and moaned as breathlessly as someone having sexual intercourse in a hot climate. "And when it was done, and you had no part in it," Sayre continued, "I'd feed you to them." He gestured with his chin. Susanna looked that way and saw that the aisle from the door to the bed where Mia lay was now covered with the bugs she'd glimpsed in the Dixie Pig. Their knowing, greedy eyes were fixed on the plump doctor, their mandibles clicked.
"What? Sigh,